Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're looking at this really interesting idea. Normal is a moving target.
Yeah, it's from a piece by Mercedes Noem Kostucki, who goes by Mercy. That title alone, it just grabs you, doesn't it?
It really does. Normal isn't fixed. And she says something powerful. Redraw the map and you redefine the world.
That's the core, right? Change the definition of normal and suddenly reality itself feels different. That's what we're exploring today.
Exactly. And we're doing it through Mercy's own incredible life story. I mean, her range of experiences is just wow.
Totally. From feeling like an awkward kid in Belgium to speaking at Harvard, experiencing homelessness twice.
And then becoming the successful entrepreneur and artist in Costa Rica, her restaurant Higher Fine Dining even got major recognition.
And she has this perspective, blending logic and, well, what she calls magic. It's just a really unique way of looking at things.
It does. So our mission today, really for you listening, is to pull out what Mercy's journey teaches us about what being different means for you.
Yeah, and maybe find some practical ways, some exercises or questions to help you think about your own relationship with fitting in or standing out.
Mercy's start is a good place to jump in. Neurodivergent, Jewish kid, post-war Belgium. Feeling like an outsider.
That feeling of not quite belonging. I think a lot of people can relate to that on some level, right?
Absolutely. And then you layer on her later experiences as a trans woman, entrepreneur, coach. Her understanding of normal clearly evolved a lot.
And it brings up this fundamental tension, doesn't it? That push and pull between wanting to belong, to fit in.
And needing to be your authentic self, even if that makes you different.
Exactly. It's a balancing act most of us probably recognize from our own lives.
Okay, so let's dive into this idea of the relativity of normal. Mercy talks about her childhood, her Jewish family in Belgium after the war.
Their normal was specific to them, right? No Christmas, hearing grandparents' Holocaust survival stories. That was just life for them.
Right. But then the context shifted. She moved from a Jewish school to a secular one.
And suddenly, what was normal within her family and community
became the very reason she was seen as different, as an outsider. It really shows how context defines what we see as normal.
It's not some fixed universal thing.
No.
It depends entirely on where you are and who you're with.
And because she felt so different, she started doing what she calls masking.
Ah, yes, masking. Hiding parts of herself to try and blend in, to be accepted.
It sounds like a survival strategy, really, and probably something many listeners might recognize in themselves.
I think so. And her personal story mirrors bigger societal shifts, too, you know?
How so?
Well, think about how communities like LGBTQ plus folks or neurodivergent people are pushing back against narrow, old definitions of normal.
Right. Challenging those norms.
And you see generational differences there. Maybe older generations clinging to rigid ideas out of fear.
While younger generations are more likely to see difference as a strength, a superpower even.
Exactly. Which leads to a really interesting point Mercy makes about today's world.
With all the online communities and niche groups.
Yeah. She suggests that the idea of one single normal is kind of dissolving. It's becoming more like a majority of minorities. Lots of different normals coexisting.
That's a fascinating way to put it. And it makes you think, for you listening, where in your life do you feel normal?
Where do you feel different? Your family, work, friends? What makes you feel one way or the other in those different contexts?
It's a great reflection point. Okay, but what about the cost? The cost of trying to pass as normal.
This is where Mercy's story gets really intense. She was labeled gifted, but the effort of masking, it took a huge toll.
Yeah, she talks about suicidal thoughts, self-loathing. It sounds incredibly painful.
It really paints a picture of that internal battle, just trying to fit into a mold that wasn't hers.
And the turning point seems to be Costa Rica, moving there, starting to unmask.
Right, letting go of the pretense. And what's amazing is that's when her weird fine dining concept took off.
So embracing her difference actually became her gift, her asset.
Exactly. It flips the script, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The thing she tried to hide became the source of her success.
But there's a paradox she mentions too, right? About being accepted as a trans woman.
Yeah, it's subtle. Like being seen as passing or normal can feel validating.
But it can also erase the struggle, make the trans experience seem too simple or uniform.
Exactly. It can hide the unique journey and reinforce this myth that everyone within a group is the same.
Which is a good prompt for listeners. Have you ever felt accepted, but maybe in a way that felt, I don't know, bittersweet, like your unique story was kind of glossed over?
That's a really good question to ponder. And it ties into her next point about the myth of homogeneity.
Meaning the idea that everyone in a group is the same.
Right. She points out that even within the trans community, her path was different. She didn't come out as a gay man first, wasn't immersed in the same LGBTQ plus subcultures that shaped others' femininity.
So her experience, her map, was unique even within that group.
It highlights the danger of stereotypes, doesn't it? How easily we reduce complex identities.
And how the media often focuses on extreme voices, maybe, erasing the quieter majority.
Precisely. So, for you listening, think about any group you belong to. How much diversity is really there? Resist those easy stereotypes.
Okay, she also touches on systems versus individuals, or souls, as she puts it.
Yeah, like how education, healthcare, corporations, they often push towards standardization, assimilation, one size fits all.
But the internet, that offers something different.
Potentially. It allows niche communities to find each other and thrive, which can be empowering.
But there are challenges there too. Techno-oligarchies, maybe? Does online connection fix everything?
Good question. Probably not entirely. It makes you think, though. How do the systems in your life support your authentic self? Or do they hinder it?
Work, community, online spaces.
Yeah.
Where do you feel most yourself?
Now, this next part is framed around parenting, but I think the insights are universal, the double bind of difference.
You mean parents wanting to protect their child's uniqueness?
But also worrying about them fitting in, being accepted by society.
Yeah. She shares how her own mother initially struggled with her autism and trans identity. Out of fear, really. Understandable fear.
And Mercy's point is stark. Trying to force conformity, the masking, it almost killed her. Authenticity isn't just nice to have, it can be vital.
But it's not about just rejecting fitting in entirely either, is it?
No, she suggests it's more nuanced. The goal isn't radical standing out or forced fitting in. It's about learning to navigate.
Navigating a world that demands both, knowing when to assimilate and when to be authentically different.
Exactly. And that's a skill we all need, not just parents teaching kids. How do you navigate those different demands in your own life?
She also brings up how parents' own past traumas can affect
Oh,
things.
definitely. If a parent was bullied for being different, they might push their own child to conform without even realizing it.
So healing your own stuff is key to avoid projecting it.
It seems crucial. And for listeners, it's an invitation. How might your past experiences be coloring how you see difference now, in yourself and others?
This brings us to embracing dualities, holding two seemingly opposite ideas at once.
Yeah, she touches on Eastern oneness and Western individualism, saying the truth is probably in both. We are connected and we are unique.
And this leads to a really practical coaching exercise she uses.
The how are you the same? How are you different question.
Yes, this is something you listening can actually do. Pick an identity, your job, a relationship.
And ask yourself, how am I the same as others in this area? And how am I different?
She gives examples like the corporate client reframing work as play changed everything.
Or the 60-year-old exploring his gender identity by looking for similarities and differences with new people. It helped him connect and heal.
So try it now, maybe pause after this.
Yeah.
Pick something. How are you the same? How different?
And it leads to what she calls the spiritual paradox.
Which is.
The thing that's the same about everyone is that we're all unique and different.
Ah, okay, I like that. Holding both sameness and difference together.
Yeah. Living with both. Like her example of navigating work as a trans woman, follow the dress code assimilation, but bring your unique ideas, authenticity.
Or parents teaching kids context code switching between school rules and home freedom.
So for you, where in your life can you lean into both fitting in where needed and expressing your authentic self, finding that balance?
Okay, let's boil this down to some really concrete takeaways for listeners. First, map your context.
Right. Think about the different parts of your life. Where do you feel normal? Where do you feel different? And why? Get specific.
Second takeaway, do a same versus different audit.
Pick an identity, career, relationship. List 5 ways you're the same as others in that category, 5 ways you're different. Like her parenting versus childlessness example. Both nurture, but very different experiences.
Third, and this is for everyone, practice contextual code switching.
It's just about adapting behavior appropriately for different situations without shame. We do it anyway, right? Formal events versus hanging out with friends.
It's about being intentional and aware of it. Fourth, create identity anchors.
Yeah, those small personal things that express you, even in rigid places, like her cousin's mismatched socks. What's your version of mismatched socks?
What small things ground you in your authenticity? Good question. Fifth, adapt her family dinner idea for yourself.
Ask yourself, what's one rule I could rethink? What assumption about normal are you living by that might be worth challenging?
And finally, sixth, redefine normal as a verb.
Think of it as something we do, not something that is. And ask, in this situation, who benefits from this normal?
That question alone can shift your perspective, can't it? Makes you aware of the power dynamics.
Totally. It encourages you to challenge limits in your own head and out in the world.
Mercy wraps up with this great story from her dad about the crazy driver.
Oh, yeah. The guy hearing on the radio about one crazy driver going the wrong way on the highway.
And he thinks, one. There are hundreds of them.
It's such a perfect metaphor for feeling like the odd one out.
But the twist, Mercy's realization, is that maybe the ones clinging to the old rigid maps are the ones going the wrong way now.
Exactly. The world keeps changing. The map needs updating. Difference isn't the problem. It might actually be the compass.
Her journey really shows that. Difference as a guide to belonging, self-understanding, reinvention.
So the big takeaway for you listening. Normalcy, identity. It's not fixed. It's this constant dance.
A dance between belonging and reinventing ourselves. A dance we're all doing.
Absolutely. So here's a final thought to leave you with.
Okay.
Think about how embracing your unique map, your perspectives, your differences, how could that not only reshape your world?
But maybe also offer new paths, new ways of seeing things for other people too. How could your difference actually contribute something valuable? That's definitely something to chew on. Keep exploring that relationship with difference and normalcy.